got your Bible in John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Let me get over there. I was drinking my water. I tell you what verse, because it's a very long chapter, and we'll not try to read it all. John chapter number 6, and we'll jump in somewhere along about verse number 27. John 6:27. The Lord Jesus said, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth the everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread of life which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" And Jesus said unto them, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Verse 46, "Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the bread, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth this of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God. Pray you'd bless it and the preaching of it, working each heart as only you can. I trust you and not myself. So I pray, Lord, you'll work. But I pray, Lord, that you'd use me now and infiltrate and saturate me and make me all that you'd have me to be right here at this time and this place. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Revelation. Back some time ago, I went to a church, and when I was still trying to raise some support, and was there one Sunday and preached and got there and was for Sunday school, and they had their Sunday school lesson and all. And we could talk back and forth there in that particular class. Some churches do that, some don't. There's good and bad in both of them. So anyway, let that be as it may. But they were talking, and one man was talking. He was explaining he couldn't understand and couldn't figure it out why if he'd been there, he'd have believed. Why didn't them people believe? They were there, they saw it, and I think now they was talking, maybe it might have been something other about some miracle that the Lord did with Moses and something like that. Could have been something in the New Testament and all. But he didn't see. And it's what I'm trying to get across this morning, that just because a person sees something other, that's not going to provoke something in them to cause them to say, well, I'm convinced now, so I accept you as my Savior, so because I saw something that's convinced me, it don't work that way. So here's how it does work. God.
Amen.
Yeah. It all starts with him. Yeah. He's in through it all, and it all going to wind up with him. You're God's and Christ, you're Christ, and Christ is God's. Amen. So, and one of these days, it's going to be God will be all in all. See, but so it's God.
Right.
I can't convince you of anything.
Right.
I was sitting there thinking this morning while my wife was singing and all. It's been so long ago since I was lost that I really, if I, and I don't know how much I do have, but if I could have had, when I was first saved, what I got now, whatever I got and all, but if I could have taken that and maybe I could have done better about helping people to understand some things about the Lord, but the best I can do is not good enough unless the Lord himself reveal it to you.
Exactly right.
If you notice, there's some things we read when the Lord was talking to him in the first part of this of our reading here this morning, he's talking about the labor not for the meat which perishes, and you know, you're seeking for the wrong thing. You're only looking for the food that you're getting. And they wouldn't follow the Lord for the spiritual well-being. And they wouldn't necessarily follow him for the miracles, is what he said here in this particular place. Some did, but he said that they were just following for the food. And so he used that to say then, you need some real bread. You need some true bread. And they said, well, you know, show us something that you've done.
Yeah.
You know, could you tell us something that you've done? And verse number 30, they said, therefore unto him, what sign showeth thou? And you know, 1 Corinthians 1:22 says, the Jews require sign.
Right.
So they said, therefore unto him, what sign showeth thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doeth thou work? And then it went on to talk about, you know, Moses, our fathers, they eat bread in the wilderness, you know, and so forth. They eat manna there. And it's like they're saying, you know, what can you do? Can you do anything? And I read that and I'm thinking, where have you been? For the last few days, what have you been eating? Where did it come from? Them few fish and those few loaves of bread, that wasn't going to feed everybody that was there. So they're saying, you know, can you show us something? Can you help us to understand that who you really are? You know, is there some sign you can show us? See? And the Lord had been feeding them. And I'm thinking, dummy, you know, and all. And it goes down through here, and he's pretty plain, looked like to me, although he does get into some things where we read there this morning. They're saying then they murmured in verse number 41, and then they strove among themselves about what he said about his flesh.
Yep.
And the Bible said there, I'm looking for it, I don't have that under, verse 61, I believe it is. And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said, doth this offend you? They murmured. They couldn't understand. They said, this is a hard saying. They strove among themselves. And to me, it looked like it's pretty plain there, see? So what I'm saying is this, that the things of the Lord, God himself, the Word of God, and the things of the Lord are a revelation from God. God uses preachers. God's got his Word right here. We've got the Word of God. We can read it. And we've got preachers that preach it and try to explain things to us. And we can get it and comprehend it. But through and all of that, it's God that reveals these things.
Right.
Now, is there anybody that might be thinking some great big overwhelming something or other is going to take charge over you? Sort of like, you know, something's going to come along and pick you up, you know, and you can't really explain it, you know, and you know, something spooky like or something other, you know. Of course, you understand? The Holy Ghost is I heard somebody today criticize that, somebody on radio that's talking about, you know, he's not a ghost. I said, well, Holy Ghost, what you think ghost is? Spirit, you know. But so it's not going to be something physical, because that's what they were looking at right there.
Right.
You know, I've done this before. I'll probably do it again. But when it comes about the physical and the human reasoning and things like that, that's what was going on in John 3. He told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. He said, how can this be? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born? He didn't get it. It's like, you know, the woman at the well, she said, the Lord said, well, if you'd ask me, I'd give you living water. And she looked at him and said, well, you don't have anything to draw with. And he was drawing her right then, see? So she didn't get it. And the man at the pool of Bethesda, and in the next chapter, chapter 5, John 5, there he was. And the Lord said, wilt thou be made whole? And he went into this little spill, how nobody could help him in the water. And it was, to me, it's like he was saying to him, would you help me? Would you get me over there as quick as that water gets troubled? And the Lord wasn't saying, do you want me to help you get you over there? You don't need help. You need curing. Wilt thou be made whole, see? And it's the same thing over in this sixth chapter. He said, I'm the bread of life. They said, well, now, is there something you can show us? You know, and then he goes over in this thing then about bread, and then he get into something other that might be a little hard to understand. He get over there, and it's not really so. I don't really think that it is. And what else can it mean other than this? When he got to preaching there in verse number 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Right. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And then they strove among themselves. Verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. You ever eat his flesh? You ever drink his blood? You're going to have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Amen? You say, well, I don't know what part I might I'll eat this part. I don't want to eat this part, you know, or something other, you know. I don't know what part. Maybe I'll eat this part. I don't know what part I want to eat. Well, what about drinking the blood? Well, do I really have to? You know, is that something I really have to do? So, if you really grossed out about that, guess what? He's not talking about eating his flesh. As far as that goes, he's not here to eat his flesh. See? Do you see him sitting around anywhere in the flesh? So he really can't think about, even when he was there, you know, they saw him and they wasn't thinking, well, you know, what part do I want to chew on? You know, so it's not that at all, okay? So what is it then? So he must be talking about something else. Well, how do you know that? Well, the only way I can tell you that, my friend, is by revelation from the Lord. When you read this right here, when you read the Bible, when you hear preaching, and all, does the Lord speak to you? Does he minister to you? Are you getting anything out of it? See, right. There'll be no way you're going to get anything from the Lord unless he gives it to you.
That's right.
It starts with him. He's in it all. It's going to wind up with him.
Right.
God is a living person. He's alive and well. Like the preacher said last night, he's with us. Amen. If we're saved, he is with us. He is in us. He is a part of us. We're a part of him. We're in him. We're in him, he's in us, we're with him, he's with us, in him, and he in us. And so, therefore then, you know, we are with him. So, but if you're not saved, even if you're not saved, if you're getting anything out of the Bible, getting anything from church, getting anything from a preacher, it's God that's giving it to you.
That's exactly right.
It's God that does it. God. Not something you got to try to figure out. And I'll tell you something else. I don't know everything there is to know about the Bible, but in my studying over the years and so forth, I've read things and really didn't. And the way I do now, if I read something other, I can't get anything out of it and all, I may write a little something, a note or something other, and just forget it and leave it with the Lord. And maybe it might be years later. Might not be so long. But sometime or another, I'll be reading and not even have anything on my mind about that and probably done forgot about it, but something will connect. I'll see something will, yeah, I'll get energized, you know, I'll get illuminated. I don't know how you go back explain it. I'm trying to find words, you know, and so forth. So it'll click, it'll connect. I'll say, wow, hallelujah. And I'll go back to that. A lot of times I'll write something down. Then I'll write down a date, you know, maybe that I get something out of that. Because when I go back through there and read that again, then I'm looking at that and I'm looking how the Lord has brought and led me along and so forth. So it's all a revelation of the Lord.
Amen.
God's a living God. God is alive and well and speaking and helping and working. Amen.
Amen.
So they couldn't get a hold of this thing. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever drunk his blood? You ever eat his flesh? You say, well, Brother Al, let me ask you, have you ever drunk his blood? Oh, yeah. You've actually drunk the blood of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Have you eat his flesh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've drunk his blood and eat his flesh. And you need to drink his blood and eat his flesh. You say, well, all that sounds pretty good. What does all that mean? Well, now you understand here now, like I said before, he's not talking about, you know, taking a bite out of a body part. And he's not talking about, you know, somehow or another drawing that blood out with a syringe and then, you know, and then open your mouth or pouring it in a glass. And no, so he's not talking about that at all, okay? So it's just like those people, they were saying that, you know, what can you do? Can you do anything and all? He said, you know, you need bread, okay? And they were looking at it from the physical. So when you look at this thing about drinking his blood and eating his flesh, don't do as they did. Don't do as Nicodemus did in the third chapter, or the woman at the well did in the fourth chapter, or the man at the pool of Bethesda did in the fifth chapter, or these people here doing the sixth chapter. Amen. You see how all that's doing the way it goes out like that in them chapters and all? They're all, first of all, looking at it from the physical. Don't look at it from the physical. Look at it from the spiritual. So therefore then, when I received Christ, I received his blood. I received his body, see? And now, so I was given life. And that's what he's talking about down through here in verse 51. I am the living bread, right, which came down from heaven. If any man will eat this bread, he shall live forever.
Amen.
I'm going to live forever. I'm not going to die. You say you're not going to die? No, not die. You say, well, Brother Al, now, well, what about if you get something bad wrong with you and you die with cancer? Well, now see, here we go again. So he's not talking about physical either. As a matter of fact, down through there, when he gets talking about things like that, verse number 40, he said, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. He said up there in verse 51, shall live forever and shall not die. But back there in verse number 40, he said, believeth on him may have everlasting life and not going to die. But then he went on saying, I will raise him up at the last day. Raise him up at the last day, yeah. Because when you come to him and receive him, it's like eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And when you do that then and receive him, the one that gave you life will sustain you with everlasting life. But that's not to mean that you're going to have eternal physical life down here. Because he reassures us about three or four times in this chapter right here that those that do have eternal life, he will raise up at the last day. So it's not talking about physical. Talking about spiritual. See that? Get a hold of that? I try to make it as plain as I can. You say, well, we know all of that. Oh, I hope everybody does. But if there's somebody coming along that really ain't got it yet, and God's connecting with that one, amen, you know? So anyhow, let me show you something else. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. When I read this second chapter and I get down to the third chapter, and he said in chapter number 3, first of all, he says, and I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, even neither yet now are you able to bear it. And I'm thinking, well, if you hadn't given me anything meaty, what have you been doing in this previous chapter? Let me show you something in this previous chapter, chapter 2, verse number 6. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Hidden. So a mystery, a hidden. Something that's mysterious might be hidden, hidden wisdom, mystery. But anyway, I think one word's defining the other. I believe there's a built-in dictionary in the King James Bible, and I think he's defining the word mystery with the word hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He said, verse 8, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us. So he's revealed these things. And usually whenever we hear this verse being read in verse number 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know how we usually hear that verse used? Heaven. Not talking about that.
That's right.
See, how you know it ain't talking about that? Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Why? And how? For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. So the things that God reveals are not worldly things, although God grants wisdom and discernment. Like I was preaching the other night over somewhere, where it was, I guess it was a church, because I preached at a prison Tuesday night, Wednesday night church. Anyway, I said, which one would you want operating on you, me, or if you had brain problems, would you rather have me operating on you or Dr. Ben Carson?
Yeah, I know who I'd want.
Amen. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But it, but anyway, you know, so if that man is able to do that, then, you know, God's granting him that ability, amen. Right. So it's not that God, you know, doesn't grant, you know, some discernment about the things of the world and abilities to be able to do brain surgery and open heart surgery and things like that and all. But when it comes to spiritual things, you know, he can't do it and I can't do it. In context here, in 1 Corinthians, Paul couldn't do it. Even though he was a wise master builder, you know. Apollos couldn't do it in the context there, because that's what he's dealing with. Cephas couldn't do it, nor anybody else that could come along could do it, see. But God that gave the increase. So God is the one who grants revelation, illumination, understanding,
yes,
see?
Yes,
God is the one who does it. So when God starts doing that, you consider yourself fortunate.
That's right. That's right. Came from him.
Consider yourself fortunate.
Right.
Amen. Do you see things? Even where you work at, you know, where you shop, your neighborhood and things like that, do you see things? Me and Brother Dan was talking last night about, you know, people say, well, how'd that go now? It was something other than he said that the voters and some of them, you know, they say, well, you know, they would deny, and we would too, that God doesn't use means in calling people to salvation, you know. But they equally would say, though, well, it don't make a difference who I vote for, you know, and everything, because God's going to put people in there he wants anyway. So you're saying then that We don't want to rule that out, see, because man's got a responsibility. So therefore, God giving you some understanding. You've got some understanding, brother, that people that don't have. So where'd that come from? See, he can see the connection. Wait, so, you know, so where'd that come from? Any understanding about the things of the Lord came to you from God. And you got understanding about things that other people around you don't have. They can't see. They can't comprehend. Where'd that understanding come from? So if it came from the Lord, if it didn't come from necessarily from brother, I wonder what that was. If it didn't come from Brother Pascal, you know, if it didn't come from me, Brother Tim, or some other preacher, because who are we? One soul, one waters. But God gives the increase. A revelation of the Lord. The Spirit of God gives a revelation of these things, yea, the deep things of God. So if God has given you some understanding, if you're seeing beyond the physical, if you're seeing over into the spiritual realm, consider yourself fortunate, because not everybody is that way.
That's right.
See?
Been good. Amen.
You got something to be thankful for.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Something to be thankful for. Amen. So are you happy about it? Some of you are not. You're wondering where I'm going and what I'm saying. Well, I'm in what I'm saying. Okay?
Amen.
So don't think I'm going anywhere else. I'm in what I'm saying. Okay? Amen? I'm right in it. No, I ain't trying to trick nobody. I'm trying to help you. Amen? I don't want to trick nobody. I want to make it plain enough where the little kids can get it. I understand, Brother Ayo. I know what he, I don't like everything he thinks, but I understand everything. Well, if the little kids can get it, surely me and you knotheads can get it, amen. But we can't, no, but ain't nobody going to get it unless God helps us to get it. And if he starts helping us, and I need his help every time, 24/7, amen?
Right.
And so therefore then, any revelation, any understanding we have about ourselves,
yep,
and God and the Bible and the future and the things of God and the Word of God, God's been helping us to understand it.
Amen. Amen.
And I don't believe he's going to abandon the project.
Amen. Amen.
I was listening to Brother Tim last night and so forth and all, and he could not. We was talking, wasn't in here preaching. We were sitting over there, and I was asking him about somebody in his church, the lady that died. And I don't know if you ever met any of you ever met her or not. I don't know. I'm just taking a stab in the dark, 45 maybe, something like that. I don't know. Might have been 35. I don't know. So, you know, I think more than 25. Don't think it's 55. So anywhere through there, you know, somewhere or another. Y'all might have could have looked down and said, well, brother, she's 34. Okay, all right. Well, maybe so. I don't know. But anyhow, and all. And he said, I can't remember now what all he did say, but what I got out of it was he was trying to get her to understand that, you know, you need to receive Christ because you're not going to go much further. See? And you might think, well, now, ain't that contradictory what we've been preaching? That, you know, it's all God's timing and God wasn't going to, you know, and everything. Yeah, but let's don't rule out our responsibility.
Right.
God not going
right.
to do my repenting for me.
Amen.
Not, God not going to do my believing for me. God not going to do my casting. You say, well, now we get the repentance is granted from God. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So do you want to repent? Where'd that come from? Have you been doing some of it? Where'd that come from?
Good.
Do you believe some? Where'd that come from?
That's right.
See?
Good.
That's what I'm
good.
Saying.
So, yeah.
It's all a revelation
right.
of the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Sometimes I feel like I get to looking at what I've said here over the time, and I feel like maybe I've gone too far, maybe overboard. I don't want to make it where I don't want to come across, you know, like a hyper somebody, but I don't want to come across like a 1, 2, 3 repeat after
that's
me.
Right.
But friend, listen, when the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's what he means.
Yeah.
When he says, whosoever shall call it, you say, well, you're not saying, well, we know all of that. But the fact still remains, you know, whosoever Jew or Gentile calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, you know, and why is it, yeah, and it's God that does the moving, and we know all of that, but still and all, you know, and I feel like maybe sometime I've tried to dress it up and make it more dramatic. Even my conversion, I've dressed it up and made it more dramatic than what you can read yourself into. So that's the reason I'm saying this way then. So I'm still trying to help you. Okay,
right.
You see, I'm still trying to help. I'm trying to get to where you are and this and that, even though I don't know where you are and I don't know who you are exactly and what your needs are, but I'm trying to follow God and I'm feeling after him and trying to sense that he might tell me what to say and this and that. That's the reason you can tell I ain't got nothing in front of me. Now I need to go to point number one. I ain't got a point number one. If God don't tell me what to say, I'm sunk and so are you. Amen? And so that's the reason I'm trying to tell you then. And so therefore, don't read any more into it. If you have got some illumination, if you've got some understanding, you can attribute that not to any preacher.
That's
and
right.
We belittle no preacher,
that's
but
right.
You can attribute that to God.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just contribute that to God.
Yes.
Hmm. So if God's that interested in you, then, you know, and so don't read something into it. Well, I got to wait to a time, to sometime or another where, you know, something like that going. Because, you know, and I don't want to minimize the working of the Holy Ghost. I'm not doing that. I'm building that up and
right.
saying that with God, sometimes it's pretty dramatic.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm not going to go into my conversion experience. I've done that enough times, okay? But I've heard of other people, and I believe they're genuinely saved, and they don't hold to easy believism, and this and that, and it's not an easy believism thing, but it didn't have all of that dramatic, if you want to use the word, that I had, see? Right. And I'm going to tell you something other. Let every man, and I know this hadn't got anything in the world to do with what I'm saying in its particular context either, but I'm going to take these words from that 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Let every man abide in the calling wherewith he was called.
Right.
In other words, God deals with people in different ways. You circumcised, no need to be uncircumcised. Are you uncircumcised? No need to be circumcised, you know. And if you're saved, there's no need of saying, well, you know, all of those things didn't, everybody didn't have a blue couch experience, okay? You didn't have a blue couch. Not everybody was saved on the steps. I think you said you was on steps whenever it took place and all. So, you know, but if God has been speaking to you and opening up your understanding to His Word, you see things differently right. than the people around you see right. in this net because Amen. God's been working in you, then somewhere in through that, then you're going to have to come to a place where you're going to have to rest in Him. That's called faith. And don't, and again, oh Lord, how can I say this? Trust Him. Trust Him. And it's, I'm not saying word only. See, that's the reason I hesitate in preaching like this. I'm not saying word only because I don't hold the word only.
Right.
But I do hold to what the word says that you're going to have to trust Him.
Right.
Amen. You're going to have to. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So therefore then receive Him. He'll give you the power to become the sons of God. Or He'll give you the power to become the sons of God and you'll receive Him. Amen. But if you want to say one precedes the other, so be it. You know, we're not going, I won't, you know, fall out with you on that part. But the fact remains that when you receive, there's power. Amen.
Right.
Because if He's saving you, He's with you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So anyhow, but it's a revelation.
Yeah.
Let me show you something else in this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. So He said that it got, but verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What am I thinking right now? Okay. Now, what was I just thinking about? You say, well, Brother Al, I don't know what you was thinking. Notice how that verse reads there again with what I just did. Verse number 11. For what man, which one of you, knoweth the things of a man, what I just got through thinking, save the spirit of man which is in him. You said, what do you mean by that? There's no way you can know what I was just thinking or what I'm thinking now unless I tell you. What was you thinking about, Brother Al? Well, I was thinking about that number 21 back there, Jude 21. And then I got to think about Brother Pascal and the straw business and all. You like the straw business? Did you see that? Just, you know, give and take. I want to ask the rest. How you like it, son? You like pretty good? Where the other? He done cut the trail. But anyway, you know, so no man knows the spirit of a man unless that man reveal it. And nobody knows these things about the Lord unless the Lord revealed
right.
them.
Right.
Even though we got the Bible. Do you know anybody that reads the Bible or has read it? They say, well, I read it, I don't understand it. So I don't read it. Can't understand all that stuff. All them wheels over there. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to go to that for an example, in the book of Ezekiel, if you're going to go that for an example, that's not a good place to go to because I don't know a whole lot of people that claim to know a whole lot about all them wheels, okay?
Right.
And all, and I ain't been studying them myself here lately, so I ain't taking a stab on them at all, okay?
Yeah,
you know? But anyway, so it's like this. How can you know what's in a man unless that man reveal it to you? And how can you know the things of God unless he reveals it to you? Even though you've got the Word of God, how can you really understand these things? You can read it and get facts, and God can give you things. Now, I ain't minimizing what I said before, but what I'm saying now, God can give you facts and figures and help you to understand. But when he regenerates you, there'll be something different. I never forget the fella, and I don't try to read this in something whether you have or don't have either, okay? But this is an example, and I can associate with this, and I know what it was saying. There was a man saved at the church that I pastored at previous to this one, back what brought me into Kentucky back in the day after Christmas, the year 2000. We moved to Kentucky and took a church there, stayed 11 months. There's a man on the first or second row right in through there one Sunday morning. I was preaching. He'd been coming a while. He was 63 years old. And I got through preaching, give the invitation. And I looked at him. He looked at me, and boy, he just melted. He come forward, and we knelt down there and prayed with him and talked with him, this and that and all. I mean, there wasn't much talking he had to do. Amen. Right. I mean, God been working on him. I knew that. And so now he's God done, I reckon, regenerating for us. No, for us, no, he's still in church and this and that. But I never will forget, a week or two or so, a month, I lose track of time. I don't remember. He come in the back the door of the church one morning. And he said, Brother Al, he said, and he's doing himself like this right here. He said, is this here ever going to leave me? This feeling. is this ever going to leave me? Amen. Now, don't read. You say, well, I never have done. All right. Now, that's what I'm saying. Now, don't read something into that. But so therefore, you God revealing, not only is he going to reveal something to you, but you're going to get something out of it when God saves you and he starts revealing things to you. You're going to feel something out of that. Now, don't get bent out of shape with this and all. But people say, well, you're not saved by feeling. And I say, well, I know what you mean by that. But I usually say this, you're not saved by your feelings, but you're saved by the one that you feel. Okay? Because you're not going to look at me and my God-given eyeballs and me and yours and tell me somebody as big as God's going to come live inside of you and you're not going to know it. Okay? See? So I'm not saying that, now there are those that teach, that God chose before the foundation of the world. And we say amen. And since that happened then, they're already saved. And we say, huh? And then they say they just ain't found out about it yet. And therefore then, something happens to them. Or whether it does or whether it doesn't. That's the reason they never really have any assurance. It's because something hadn't happened to them or this and that and all. But so just leave them alone because if they're really his, it'll show up in eternity. And we say, well, that don't hardly just sound right with what the Bible reveals about conversion. So let's not say that you got to have that feeling, okay? But let's don't minimize that feeling. Because when God is revealing himself, and when God is revealing the Word of God, so when a person is lost and we get some truth, we see something, things begin to fall in place, and we get some understanding, see? And then God regenerates us, and we not only get this understanding, it don't stop. He keeps on illuminating and understanding us, and we understand it. But we're going to feel it, and we're going to feel like we are part of it, see? An unsaved person can gain knowledge and get understanding, but yet not feel like he's really a part of it. But when God brings about conversion, and I'm not saying you got to have all of that and everything, this feeling, but I ain't going to minimize it either, amen, because I can associate with that. The day after I was saved or two or so, I thought, boy, everything's changed. The world's different. Well, the world wasn't any different. Yeah. The flowers are prettier. Well, they wasn't any prettier than the day or two before, amen. It wasn't the world and the flowers and the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees that changed. It was me. See? And so, therefore, if any man be in Christ and Christ in him, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Yes, Brother, how's this here, is it ever going to leave? And I don't remember now what I told him, but I thought about it, and I thought later, I ought to have told him, said, well, if you don't want it to, amen, yep. You treasure it. Amen. Yeah. That freshness and that tenderness, it'll lose soon enough. Amen. Yeah. So treasure it.
Yeah.
But don't read any more into that, you know, and say, well, I hadn't had that, so I must not have it. And I ain't saying that either, you know. I can't give you assurance, only God and His Word, but specifically God the Holy Ghost can give you that, because He's the one who gives you the understanding, brings about the new birth, reveals things to you. So what am I thinking? Well, how can you know unless I tell you? And how can you know the things of God unless the Spirit of God reveal them to you? And so therefore then, God starts working and revealing before we're saved. After we're saved, those things start meaning something to us. We feel them. We feel like we are part of them.
Right.
Amen. I believe this, that if I'd have been the only one, Christ would have come and died and shed His blood for me, because it's just that personal. See? And that's what it took to get me in. So He had to do it. And if I'd have been the only one, since He did do it for me, He would have done it for me. Now, can you identify with that? I go back to Brother Tim, and not him in particular, but another lady over at the church during the camp meeting. We were there last. And I don't know or can't remember her name, and I ain't going to judge the age and this and that. But anyway, it's a lady. Another weight. Wife said, well, forget about them ages and weights, okay, because I got on something the other night about that church. She said, you should have done that. Okay, all right. You know, but I'm getting a little bit better, amen, since I'm pastoring this church, you know. But anyhow, I'm still pretty plain about some things, amen. So anyhow, but anyway, and so how did I get on all that? I don't know. Let's see. That lady over here, Brother Tim, I said to her, she said, we was talking there in the auditorium, and she said, well, I could see why the Lord would save you. And I said, why? Why me and not you? Well, I could see why the Lord would love you. And I said, why? Why me and not you?
That's right. Good.
You ever thought like that? Well, I can see why the Lord would use and save Brother Pascal. Why? You can say that, can't you, preacher? Why would God save you and not save? Well, I can see why He'd save, you know, you and Brother Tim and so forth and you. But why He wouldn't do that for me? Why not?
That's right.
How come of that? He's been revealing anything to you so far?
Amen.
Amen. Where'd that come from? Is it just human reasoning? No. You know, this and that? What am I thinking? How can you know? So how do you know? So what's God? See what I'm saying? Don't minimize the working of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You say, well, He hadn't, whoo, well, okay, all right, maybe not. But do you see some things? You understand some things? Amen. Receive those things. Act on those. You believe God loves you? Well, I just ain't real sure. Why not? For God so loved the world, how far are you going to go with that? He says, that's Jew or Gentile. Well, which one are you?
That's right.
Okay. And don't read a whole lot into that, and don't take a whole lot from that. Right. But here with this thought then, with that, for God so loved the world, are you not part of the world? And you think God would love me more than you, and why would that be? And so therefore then, you say, well, I can see why I'd give you faith. Why me and not you? You say, well, I'm this, I'm that. Okay, you think I'm any better? When it comes, I think this fits real good right here. When it comes to Calvary, brother, it's all level ground.
Yeah.
There ain't no big eyes and little U's.
Right.
We're just all a bunch of sinners.
Right.
He said, well, I don't feel like I'm that bad of a sinner. Okay, right there is a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I never killed nobody. Well, I'm glad of that.
Yeah.
Amen. They got places for people like that. Really, anybody hear the program, the sounding off yesterday morning? Of course, y'all got the station in Paducah now, 91.7. Okay, and all. And I was the first one on the radio yesterday on the sounding off. And all, and he's talking about capital punishment with the killing out yonder and so forth. And California, he said, well, do you think we need to have capital punishment? Of course, Brother David believes in capital punishment. I was the first one to get on. I said, well, if a man's committed murder and there's no doubt about it, you know, and I still hadn't found out yet. I don't know. I hadn't heard anything. Did that killers out there, did they die? Did they get shot or did they commit suicide?
They got,
okay, all right. But the guy that went in out here and shot up all them people over here at the movie theater with the dyed hair, okay? There's no doubt about it. He done it. Need to have a quick, speedy trial. Put him to sleep. Put him in a hole in the ground. Cover him up. Amen? That's what needs to be done.
That's right.
Okay? You know, I don't know how I got on that, but anyhow, since I'm on it, why, you know, we're not going to preach that sermon. Now, Lord, how did I get on that? But anyway, we'll let it be, go. Huh? I didn't kill nobody. Boy, you're a good listener. Hallelujah. I didn't kill nobody. I'm not that bad of a person. Okay. Well, you ever wish somebody was dead? That old bummer. Where'd that come from? Now, I ain't, you know, he heathen. Ain't no doubt about that. He said, brother, I love to hear about that. Well, repent in Washington. Okay. Well, they need to repent just like everybody else. For God commands all men everywhere to repent. But anyway, you know. But so you said, well, so the world, all right then. You're not a part of the world. Well, I'm not that bad of a person. Never killed nobody. You ever wish somebody was dead? Well, I never, you know, never robbed anything. You never picked up anything that didn't belong to you. Well, it's on the road. Okay. You couldn't type it in and find out who it belonged to. Amen. Well, no, you know, I put the five-finger discount on it. You know, how'd that old saying go, you know? Finders, keepers, losers, weepers, you know, and all. Okay, all right. So you really wanted it all along anyway. Now you got it, so now it's yours, okay. You know, now, I don't, if somebody's guilty of that or has done that, ever how you want to view it, that's between you and God. I don't know. Nobody's told me, okay. But anyway, let that be his debate. So, all right, so you're not part of the world? Well, I'm not that bad. I'm not that good, whatever. Why this? Why? If God is... Why has God set you down here in Western Kentucky? Why are you here in this place? Why are you in this church?
Good.
With all this here light, amen, and radio broadcast, and tapes, and CDs, and I guess reel-to-reel too. Didn't go back that far? When I first saved the preacher that done the radio broadcast, the church where I was saved at, he's using reel-to-reel. There's another man in the church, he came along from Texas, out of Jack Green's church, not Jack Green. I can't call his name now. Jack something, there you go, Jack somebody. He come out of that church, come down there and so forth and all. He started radio broadcast. He wanted me to do his introduction and close. This is the gospel broadcast with evangelist Paul Mills. And so therefore, you know, good radio voice. But anyway, and all that business. So, and reel to reel, all the light, reel to reel, CDs, DVDs, amen, tapes, books, this and that. Why has God set you down here? Why has God brought you all the way from, where is it, some godforsaken place on the other side of the Ohio River? I'm joking. But anyway, Ohio, or is it Michigan? Michigan, okay, all right. That'd be better than Ohio than would it or would it. I don't know. Better than Mississippi, ain't it? Or Alabama, that's a foreign country. But anyway, I'm just joking. But so why is that? But beyond the joking and the carrying on and everything, so why am I here? Why is God? So the least little bit of moving, least Amen. Little bit of stirring, right. Least little bit of illumination and this and that, you thank God for that.
Yes.
Inching along, blessing along, caring for you along, meeting your needs, have met your need, going to meet your need.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
God. Revelation. Gives us revelation. Reveals things to us. Notice what he said there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. He went on to say there in verse number 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. We had that. Amen. But in contrast, the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's of God. It's like he said there in verse number 10, but God hath revealed them of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Right. But the natural man, in that natural realm, in that Adamic nature, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, I may be reading more into it than what that is saying. I grant you that, you know. So, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, the things of the Spirit of God, for, because of, they are foolishness unto him. Well, I don't see no sense in giving no 10% what I make to no church. You could use that on something else. You crazy. Anybody ever said that to you? Why do you go down there? Why you gotta? Why can't you come on for Sunday for our getting together, our family reunion? Well, I go to church on Sunday. Well, can't you leave church one time a year on Sunday and come over to family reunion?
No.
Well, let me ask you a question.
No.
Why don't you have the family reunions on Saturday? I could come Saturday. Well, the most of us have to work on Saturday. Well, can't you take off of work one Saturday a year and have this family reunion? See, too, play that little game. Amen. Well, I just don't see any harm, and I don't see this, and I don't see that. Well, I can tell you why you don't see. You just told us you're blind. Like that fella wrote that song about his wife and her lover, and he didn't know it. He wrote it about himself. And I can remember hearing him sing it right now. Blind fool, crazy fool, can't you ever see? 'Tis nothing but a dog Ruby gave to me. That don't mean a thing in the world to you, but whenever I think about somebody being blind, crazy fool, that's what I think. I think about this song of old Alec James. Nobody here ever heard of Alec James. But anyhow, when I was a kid, and that's what the story was about, and the song was about blind food, crazy food, and people can't see. And so therefore you say, well, I can't see that. Well, it's very plain you can't see it. You just told us that you don't, because you don't understand it. But the natural man receiveth not the things, see. And he said up there, which are the things in verse 12 are freely given. He said there in verse number 10, yea, the deep things, see. In verse number 7, wisdom of God, hidden wisdom, see, ordained, not for us when we get to heaven, but, you know, hath revealed them unto us, by his Spirit, the deep things, the things of God, these mysterious things. The natural man receiveth not their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. If they're spirit, now that, with that thought right there, spiritually discerned. It's not the spirit discerning them, it's the believer spiritually discerning them. And I'll say the unbeliever. God giving you some understanding, you know, and you're discerning it and all. So, where'd that come from? That's the reason. Don't minimize the working and the moving of God.
Right.
Don't minimize where you are, what light you have. Amen?
I would,
I was listening to what Brother Tim saying last night, and I'm thinking, man, I wish I could see some of them things. Amen? Man, I wish I could see some of them things, you know? And everything. And I'm thinking, boy, I wish we could see the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Somebody get up and preach it on. Everybody in there lost. The Spirit of God just do regenerate them. And they all get saved. I'm saved. Well, down here, I'm getting up.
Wouldn't that be something?
To a fellow one time, he said, oh, I went to Lowe's to try to find something. He said, just being about like being in a Pentecostal revival or something or other. Amen. You know? And so I'd like to see it just get all bent out of shape. Just people, you know. But God is sovereign. Amen. He ain't diminished in his power one bit.
Right.
And he can move anytime, any place, upon anyone he jolly well pleases.
Right.
And if he does that a little at a time, amen. If he does that a little at a time, here and there and one, this and that. I reckon I'm right on this. And I hate to use this and wire this out. But Noah, I reckon it was him and his wife and their three sons, and I don't know why any of the other sons, if there were any other, didn't get on, and their wives. Were they, and I don't mean to wear this out, but were they the only ones on the face of the earth at that time that were saved? If that's the case, or would there have been some that were saved that, you know, didn't hear or whatever, you know, and when the floods came, why, you know, they just, you know, they drowned as believers in the flood. I don't know. You find me a book, chapter, and verse on that, then I'd like to see it. But, you know, as well as I do, it's not really, doesn't go into that. So, if it is true then that Noah had three sons, wives, and they all got an ark, and nobody on that ark, nobody outside that ark was saved then. So, after all that preaching he did, and I don't know how long it took him to build the ark. How long? I don't know. I tried to study it here not long ago on that and so forth. I don't know how long it took him to build the ark. Whether it was 50 years or whether he started out by himself pulling them there trees along. By, I don't know. Okay? Just all speculation about that. But if there was only that many, then why was there only that many? Okay? See? You think God couldn't have done with that bunch like he did over at, why Pentecost? Why 3,000 in one day? Saved, I believe they were. Baptized, the Bible says, and continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It all goes back to revelation. All goes back to God. God reveals. God moves. God stirs. God does a little at the time. God works with individuals.
That's right.
You, not me. There's only one me, and that's all we need of me. Amen. Same thing said about you, all right, and everything. And we understand those ingredients. That's what the preacher was preaching about. I think it was the last camp meeting. Those various ingredients that God has in conversion, see. Might be more of one and thus another, or this and that, but those ingredients are there, see. They're there. Conviction, illumination, conviction, drawing, you know. And if you want to insert this in there somewhere or another, counting the cost.
Right.
Counting the cost.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, if God wants to do all that in a pretty short period of time,
great.
Who am I to say that he can't?
That's right.
Okay. And if he wants to bear along with some,
that's right.
Amen, and reveal a little bit at a time, who am I to say that God can't do it that way?
That's right. Amen. You're right,
preacher. But anybody. So you just, if this fits you, the shoe works, why, enjoy the shoes, amen. If you don't like shoes, if the boot fits, wear it, amen. So with some then, God does everything he pleases with everybody, but with some it looks like he does work a little at a time with. I was reading along when I was studying through this John chapter 6 some time back. I preached this at our church on Sunday mornings, and this John, the whole chapter, not all at one time and all, but over some different Sunday, one after the other, after how long it took, 3 or 4 weeks or whatever, and this and that. And one writer talked about, and I think it was Pink. He's got a big old thick book on the book of John, and I was looking in there and so forth, and I think it was him that I was reading after that said, maybe, and I was a little bit surprised, but I was rejoicing too, that maybe some of those that turned and walked no more with him, maybe some of them wound up being part of that. They walked no more with him, but later on.
Pray so.
At that 3,000, maybe one or some of them. Maybe at that later, the 5,000, right. It was one or some of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
See? It's like Nicodemus. He come, you know, at night, and later on, you know, does the Bible, I don't know where it really spells it out, when it was and how it was that he was converted, if he was converted. But it looked like to me something happened between John 3 and the other chapter, and I don't know what it is, where it was that they came and they took down the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it looks like to me, you know, if it happened then, if it happened before then, whatever, I don't know, after then, I don't know. But so there, you see, if you want to use the word, some people don't like this word, process. They say, well, now, salvation, not a process. Well, you can take the word salvation and put it at the top of a list and put a lot of things up under there. And so therefore then, I'm saying, you know, illumination, you know, conviction, things like that, regeneration, repentant faith, justification, sanctification, reconciliation. You can put all those things up under the heading of salvation. So if you're going to say salvation is not a process, then what are you going to do with one time you got conviction, drawing, letting up a little bit, another time there's more conviction and drawing, letting up a little bit, and so forth. And then God brings about salvation. Can we not call that some type of a process? You say, well, God saves just like that, and there ain't no doubt about it.
That's right.
Not saying that he don't do that.
That's right.
But we're saying, though, then, that so with God then,
right,
with this revealing,
yep,
with this revelation,
yep,
here a little, there a little,
yeah,
God wants to do it like he did it at 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, or if God wants to do it like it looked like to me with Nicodemus,
that's right,
and Cornelius.
Right. Right.
Now, of course, we say, well, now, Peter only went there one time, and it happened on that day. Yeah, but the Bible said that they said about him he was a just man.
Yeah.
They that came and said about him, they said he, it's not saying that he was a just man unsaved, it's they said about him he's a just man.
Right.
In other words, you know, he's honest and fair in what he does, see, just. So then can we not say then with this illumination and revealing, that if God has revealed anything to you, see, and so, and don't look at it, and if you can see beyond the physical, if you can see it's not eating flesh,
right,
if you can see it's not actually drinking blood, then why is that you can see that? And if you can, if some people say that, say, well, you know, that don't make no sense, I ain't reading that, that's just a bunch of myth and all, I read the Bible one time, it don't make any sense. Who, you know, and all them people over at church, it's just like what we're talking about. Well, why vote? You know, they ain't going to do nothing one to get in there no way. Anybody says that's ignorant? Ignorant! That's what the problem is. They've been doing stuff when they get in there. Most of it bad.
Right.
Amen. So if you can see a little, and I'm through. If you can see a little, and see better, and see a little at the time, you're gaining this and that, and all. Why is that? Because only God can do that.
Yeah.
And if God is so interested in you,
right,
if God's interested in you that much, reckon he's interested enough to go all the way.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And save you.
Want to. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you receive that?
Yep.
You think you could step out like Peter did on that water? He said, oh, now Brother Al, you go. This might sound like easy believism. But could you then, if he's that interested in you, could you and do you and do you want to? And is there any reason why you would not and would not do it now? Do as Peter did and step out on that boat, out of that boat on that water and go to Jesus. You say, I'm afraid I'd sink. Yeah, he did, but the only one that could save him was the Lord.
Right, amen.
And the only one, if he's been illuminating you and giving you understanding,
that's right,
and I ain't trying to pull nothing green, and I'm not trying to oversimplify,
right, right,
but I believe we're right where we need to be. And so therefore then, if you can receive him, if you can step out of that safety zone and say, well, right, well, what if I make it public that I'm receiving Christ? It's not real. I ain't got no quick solution for that. All I can tell you is whenever I knew he wanted me, and when he called me, I went to him. I didn't go to the preacher. I didn't know the preacher. I didn't go to the people that talked to me. I went from them. I went to the one that called me. And the only reason I went up front was because when I went to church as a kid, that's how they taught us to do it.
Right.
When you come up front, that's when you come up here. You coming to get saved when you come up here. And the only reason I went up there was because something happened to me over here. So, but don't, when I say something happened, you say, well, now that something other hadn't happened. All right, don't, you know, woo, Don't read a whole lot more in, but. So we'll go back to this again. I'm going to try to quit. You got some understanding? You got some revelation? How do you know what I'm thinking unless I reveal it? How do you know the mind of God? How do you see your need? If God hadn't revealed it to you, now would you be willing to step out by faith that He has given, when and where? I leave that up to you and Him. But if God says, receive me now, see? Well, now I ain't going to tell people that I'm lost like that woman last night. Brother Tim said, well, I ain't going to tell my mama. Okay, between her and God, that was what the threshold was. God said, you step over that line, and if you, but what she was doing was practicing rebellion. Well, no, I've made so many professions of faith, and that may be true. I think my wife made four, okay, you know? But the fact remains, if you, and I will use this term, get saved, you're going to have to repent and receive the Lord. Sometime or another.
Right.
He ain't going to do it for you.
Right.
And if He's give you this much, then how about you just trust in Him? And I'm not easy believing is in it now, but I don't know any other way to put it other than to be Bible.
Right.
So sometime or another, you're going to have to get out of your safety zone. You're going to have to turn loose. You're going to have to repent. You are going to have to. And it's not humanism. I'm not saying it.
No.
But still in all, you're going to have to, by faith, receive the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and be willing to be His servant and follow Him no matter what.
Amen. Amen.
And make it public and get baptized and stay in church. You're already in church. And get in the Word and not only see it intellectually and not only have the Lord open it up to you, but to say, whoo, it's good. Amen? It's good. See? So, anyhow, because you and the Lord got a good thing going. Heavenly Father, I believe and thinking, I'm through. But I hope, Lord, you're not through. Please help us now. Lord, I pray that you'd please use this little mild fatherly talk, or whatever you want to call it, preaching, Lord, soul-searching session, however how we want to look at it, I pray, Lord, you'd use it, and I pray it'd work in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you for living in me and around me and illuminating me. I pray you'd do that for others, those that you have done it for. We thank you, and we praise you, and we glory in you. So please help now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well.